This evening, turn to Revelation chapter 17. Judgment Day on Babylon has come. Judgment Day has come. Just a reminder, chapter 17, chapter 18 are parenthetical. They do not advance the chronological narrative. Tonight, now we're going to cover ecclesiastical, or what is called ecclesiastical. We talked about that Sunday evening, doctrine of the church, or religious Babylon. Chapter 18 deals with political Babylon. But tonight we're going to look at, try to unravel the darkness of counterfeit religion. Whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit. Whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit. He has a counterfeit plan. He has a counterfeit salvation. That is works-based. A counterfeit baptism. That's sprinkling-based. Counterfeit prophet. Whatever God has. He has a counterfeit church. Whatever God has, Satan has a counterfeit. So it should be no surprise to you that all religions are not biblical. All churches are not biblical. All homes are not biblical. All preachers are not biblical. And every once in a while, somebody will send me a message and they'll say, "What do you think about this mission agency?" I can tell you that a lot of places that raise funds that you send to them, I don't know, 8 or 9 cents out of every dollar makes it to the intended destination. Many times 92, 93 cents. Is kept at home by the home office, and that is not the case here. When you take your envelope and you write, "I want $1,000 to go to Duarte family," $1,000 goes to the Duarte family. Every single penny goes there. Interesting contrast. If you like contrast, the true church is denoted as the bride of Christ. You may wonder why in Revelation 17 it seems harsh that the counterfeit church is known as the great whore, because that's the opposite of a sweet and chaste bride is someone who is not sweet and chaste. And so that terminology is used not accidentally. It is used by God on purpose to show the contrast, and it is a stark contrast between light and darkness, good and evil, right and wrong, God and Satan. There's a contrast. And so you have the bride of Christ and you have the great whore that is leading people completely opposite of what God would have. And just a reminder, spiritual fornication is idolatry. The worship of idols is not the worship of God. Worship of idols is covered in the Big Ten, as I like to call them, the Ten Commandments. God hates idolatry. Again, idolatry is one of the Big Ten. So let's start in verse 1, read that, and this is a little bit of a review of the city. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." We identified that in verse 2, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemies, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, comma. It's not Mystery Babylon, it's Mystery, comma. Babylon the Great, comma. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, a government, which hath the seven heads and ten horns, a beast which thou saw, that thou sawest, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, on the which the woman sitteth. Now, verse 9, the Roman Catholic Church will tell you that that is them. That is them. They claim that that's who they are, and that verse refers to them. There are, verse 10, seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Again, a very short period of time. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. What will they do? Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we look through these verses and talk about some things this evening, that we would stop and consider and look and be watchful and be wise, that we would not get caught up in false religion, false way, false things, but we would keep our eyes focused on you, focused on your word, for that is true, that is true. And it should be in our life a discerning force. Help us to be discerning Bible believers. And we'll thank you for what you do tonight as we look to your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A crime noted, the crime here of persecuting God's people. And that's the accusation. The source of all evil in apostate Christianity. Actively engaged in persecution. Notice verse 6. Drunken with the blood of the saints, actively killing Christians, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And so who is going to testify against them? It is not going to be me. It is going to be those that were killed. And there are lots of videos out there that people have done of the martyrs who were killed for their faith. They were burned, they were tortured, they were beheaded, they had limbs pulled off of them. The brutality of the Roman Catholic Church towards Christians is well documented. And you can take my word for it, or you can go down to your nearest Roman Catholic Church library and do your own research. They carry those books in their own libraries, the books of their history. A history of what? Of killing people that opposed them, people that insisted that there was a false doctrine in the church. And there were people, Protestants, that nailed thesis to the door charging them with a works-based salvation, buying your way to heaven, those types of things. infant baptism for salvation is just, it's just not biblical. And those charges are, well documented. And the people who brought those against them were killed in brutal fashion. For the crime of printing Bibles, they were hunted over state lines, oftentimes encouraged to come back across a state line to testify. We just don't understand what you're doing. And they would come back and they would say, well, this is the Bible. We think all people should have the Bible in their language. And so we're printing it. And they would be jailed and tortured and killed for the crime of printing a Bible, for the crime of possessing a Bible. pretty sad. Enemies, because they were considered enemies because they opposed the false doctrine of the false church. Millions were killed. And you follow the Inquisition, and you can find that. Verse 7, the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? And we can go, wow, oh, that's just pretty incredible. But he asked a question, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. And again, you look at verse 9, the Roman Catholic Church claims that that is them. And I would agree. John was amazed. How can someone, a group that claims to be biblical, religious, how can they be so antagonistic, cruel, or murderous? It is not without precedent today. You look at Islam. What is Islam today? They have a religious Islam, they have political Islam, they have tied the two together, and they are what? They are very antagonistic, they are very cruel, they are very murderous. Just recently in India, beheading a number of Christian pastors who were doing what? Preaching, there is only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. And they were killed for it. The goal is world domination. The goal of Satan is world domination. All right, now I told Mrs. Bishop today, I've been reading a secular book on global warming, climate change, and the religion of it. And it's very interesting to read the opinions of those that believe that we are running out of resources. And in their own words, in their own writings, without any scientific backing, they say the world is going to run out of resources. And they have said it's going to run out in 1980 and 1985 and 1990 and 1992 and 1994 and 2000 and 2010 and 2020. And if you haven't been following how many reserves there are in the world, then you don't know that there are more reserves in the world now than there ever have been. We haven't run out. We're finding more and more and more and more and more. And they're wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. And that's not the issue. The issue is, even though they're wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong, people follow them. But it's not just resources, climate, that they're interested in. They will go on in their writings and say that because we are going to run out of resources, we're going to run out of food as well as fuel. And by 1982 and 1984 and 1990 and 1992 and 2000, there's going to be mass worldwide starvation and millions are going to die because the world is going to run out of food. I don't know if you noticed recently, the world has not run out of food. Well, no. There's still food to be eaten. So as a result, they say, because we're going to run out of food, because we have too many people, and so we need to start killing people. We need to figure out, for starters, how many people are dying each year. And then we can only allow as many people to be born as our dying. So we need to issue, if you want to have a baby, you've got to go down and I guess get a license, get a permit to have a child. And if more children are born than people that die, then the people need to be killed. What is it? It is absolutely radical. It's crazy. And then not everybody should be able to have babies. Only the real smart people should be able to have babies, because dumb people will produce more dumb people. We don't need more dumb people. Weak people should not be allowed to have babies, because weak people breed more weak people. And we should only have strong people. That sounds a lot like Hitler and World War II. It certainly does. That is being advocated today by some that would consider themselves the brightest minds in academia. They head our colleges all across our nation. What are they? They are antagonistic, cruel, murderous. What don't they believe? They don't believe God. What did God say? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Why? Because God made lots of air and lots of water and lots of oil and lots of gas and lots of natural gas and lots of resources, and has given us the ability to figure out how to make more. And so it is increasing, 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 much to the chagrin of academia today, but not to the chagrin of those that believe that God has a plan, that God created a self-sustaining earth, and that self-sustaining earth will continue to be. But the goal is control. So these writers, it's just kind of interesting, go on to say that the only solution, we cannot in the world today, and this is American academia, by the way. This is not somebody in Russia advocating this. This is America. This is the elite minds, quote unquote, of our academic society in the world today. They said we can't possibly have a Canada and the United States and a Mexico and a Brazil and a Russia and an Africa. We can't have all these countries, all these heads of state. There's no way that we're going to survive unless we have a one world government. Where does that come from? The book of Revelation. Because that is what the world is heading for. And that is what academia today is pushing towards. And that is not of God, but it is certainly Satan's counterfeit. This is an interesting man. You get some opportunity, you can read him. Sir Robert Anderson. He was an investigator in Scotland Yard. He did some research, and he was a brilliant mind, did some research trying to figure out how many people were killed because the accusation in verse 6 that this religion is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. How many people were killed by the Roman Catholic Church for the crime of believing, having, preaching a Bible, that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, is a gift of God. He estimated, Scotland Yard estimated, that more than 50 million people were killed by the Roman Catholic Church in their history for just the crime of believing God. 50 million people. Does that sound like verse 6? Drunken with the blood of the saints, I would say. Crime of persecuting God's people. The crime of spiritual fornication. Last time we were together, I think it was like a month ago, at Vacation Bible School. I was out 1 week. But here we are. The last time we were together, I mentioned that the woman was riding the beast. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. What is the beast? Beast of government. Now the woman is riding that beast. What is a bottomless pit? It is the home of Satan. It is the home of his minions. And those that follow Satan towards that path to destruction. So Satan empowers the beast that is going to rule the world, that the false church is riding on. Here's the thing, you're riding at some point. You ever watch a video footage? Somebody's there riding, they're running along and they're hopping over. They're doing equestrian things, and they come up and they hop over the first log, and then they come over and they hop over the second log, and then they come up to this log that is over a river, and the horse decides, I'm not jumping. And so the horse stops. And the person on the back of the horse typically does not stop. The objects in motion continue to stay in motion unless they're operated against by an equal and opposing force. And so that person on the horse, when the horse stops, because it's got four brakes, and the person on the back only is holding on with two little hands on a rope that has a tendency to move over the head of the horse, and the horse stops, digs all four in, and the person on back gets ejected, and if it's in the water, they typically end up in the water. So at some point, the beast is going to stop, and the rider, false religion, in Revelation chapter 17, the Church of Rome, is going to be ejected. But who's empowering the beast? Satan is, descended out of the bottomless pit. The beast is doomed. The beast of government is doomed. The rider of the beast, the church, is doomed because Satan is doomed. He does not have a chance. Turn with me, hold your finger here. Turn back to Revelation chapter 13 and look at verse 4. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Worship Satan, gave power to the beast, government, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now that question is answered in Revelation 17, and that is God. God is. Verse 9. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Again, Roman Catholic Church says that refers to them, but that hill is, and that this reference is pagan and not papal Rome. Papal Rome is pagan. Again, you can study their history. They have their coin, their travel, their tourism. See it in Roman literature. But the seven kings, who are the seven kings? It would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, the revived Roman Empire. Those are your seven. Well, who is the eighth one? The eighth would be the Antichrist. The Bible indicates that it is, in verse 10, the last two words, a short space. We know that the tribulation period is going to be how many years? Seven. 7 years. That's a very short period of time. You stop and consider how long the United States has been going, some 249 years, if my math is correct. But the Antichrist, the one world government, is only going to be in place 7 years. And that is why this says very short space. And it is going to be short. An American president is going to typically serves longer than the beast serves. American president can serve 2 terms, 8 years, but the Antichrist is only going to serve 7. Again, a very short space. Verse 12, the 10 kings which thou sawest, 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour. What is that? That's a really short period of time. Designating that in the scheme of that 7 years, they are just in, they sell their soul for just a very short period of authority. Verse 12 is the final stage of the world empire, that confederation of 10 kings, 10 horns. Today, the European Union, if I understand it correctly, is some 27 different nations. But make no bones about it, it's the big dogs that run the world. And they may be part, but here that power is given to just a very, very few. And they will only govern under the control of the Antichrist. They will sell themselves for 1 hour to be in control, but they're not in control. The Antichrist is in control, but he's not in control. Satan's in control, but he's not in control. Why? Because he is a defeated foe. But they bought the entire package. Like Eve in the Garden of Eden, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the group. And when she saw it, she took it. She bought it hook, line, and sinker. And in the book of Revelation, those kings are going to buy it hook, line, and sinker for 1 hour, verse 12, then verse 13. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. But it's going to be very short-lived. So we have three crimes in chapter 17. The crime of persecuting God's people, the crime of spiritual fornication, and then the crime, the ultimate crime of mankind, is refusing to accept God's gift of eternal life. Just to remind you, the gift of God is not heaven. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But they have rejected Christ. They've had years of brutality. We've been talking about the judgments, the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, leading us up to the end of the tribulation period. They've had lots of warnings, but they think that they are going to outsmart God, outwit him, and that is not going to happen. Draw your attention to verse 16. Let's read verse 15, so we don't skip that. He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Government does not like religion. Government does not like being told what to do. Government does not like being told they are wrong. And so they shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. At some point, the beast of government is going to stop, going to plant all four hooves down in the dirt, and they're going to eject the rider, that rider of false religion, the false church, and the pomp will be destroyed, the gorgeous riches will be gone, stripped, flesh-eaten, burned with fire, a brutal, brutal end. You say, wow, that's... How is it that God can allow that? They will die with the same brutality and in the same method that they inflicted upon the peoples of the world that embrace God. They will suffer that same judgment. We've got time. Hold your finger here. Go with me to Daniel chapter 11. So the tribulation period is known as Daniel's 70th week. So Daniel has a great bearing on these end time events. We're in Daniel chapter 11. I draw your attention towards the end of the chapter. Let's start at verse 36. Read verse 36 and 37. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Pride is a terrible, terrible crime. And we've talked about several times, and I have mentioned that I don't want to emulate any characteristic that is satanic. Pride is the characteristic, is a satanic characteristic that got Satan in trouble in the first place. And he carries that all the way through, right to the bitter end. And when you exalt your way, your path above God's, you are guilty of that self-same thing. And that is absolutely satanic. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we'll be done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, talking about, especially chapter 2, talking about that time when Antichrist shall be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's start reading at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And verse 4 is what I want you to focus on. Notice how he is described. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And again, that's another characteristic that you do not want to emulate. Oftentimes people do. Exalting themselves, you will obey me because I am God. Some pastors do that. It is not right. Some parents do that. It is not right. It is just not. Revelation chapter 17 seems extraordinary. But you study judgment, you study God's judgment, you'll find God's judgment is consistent. And the church that has killed, brutalized, burned, tortured multi-millions of people, 50 millions according to the numbers from Scotland Yard, in excess of 50 million, will suffer that same fate, Revelation 17. Wickedness is allowed to continue. Tribulation saints ask the question, how long? I get asked that question today. How long is God going to allow that to happen? And the answer is this. It's really quite simple from Revelation, until the cup is full. Until the cup is full. Until the cup of iniquity is full and overflows. Until the end, when God says, enough. And that's when that wickedness will end. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this particular chapter in Revelation that is not meant to satisfy our curiosity, but is meant to help us be discerning, to be able to look over the past and see the patterns, and not to embrace something that is false, but to condemn it for what it is, call it for what it is, and be a people that follows you. Father, may you help us not to emulate those characteristics that are satanic in form and fashion, in origin and in its originator. May you help us to be a people that focus on being light. May our light so shine that people see that we are absolutely different than the world and want to know why. And may we be faithful to point them to the Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.